live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Simply G Media Network. Remember to go to simplyg.com. That's simplyg.com to learn more information on Simply G.J. Reynolds, the playful and powerful warrior. And I'm really excited to welcome the program. First of all, my co-host, G.J. Reynolds. G, I'm so excited about our guest today and another fantastic show.
Yes, I mean, you know, we keep elevating the show and we keep getting better and better guests. And also, today's guest, you know, represents a lot of history in the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and I'm really excited to have him. I remember watching him years and years and years play, and then he became a broadcaster, and he got some other business ventures. And also, we just learned today that he's an avid golfer, and he may have to jump off the show to hit a golf shot before it's all over. But a little backstory on him. He's the only person to ever lead the NCAA, the ABA, and the NBA in scoring. He's an NBA champion with the Golden State Warriors, and he's one of the 50th greatest players of all time. Please welcome to the show, Rick Perry. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing awesome, guys. Apologize for any background noise, but I am outside playing golf with your people here, and hopefully we'll get through this without my having to hold them up. But if I do, I have somebody you might enjoy talking to. But anyway, it's great to talk to you guys. You take enough shots, though, so you can score. So that's how you get those scoring records.
Well, Rick, it's so fantastic to have you on the show, and I have stories, I guess, and you never know who, whenever you schedule an interview, what they'll be doing, especially someone was on a boat before, and different stories, and an elevator, you just never know. But Rick, ultimately, life after basketball, we talked about how fantastic your career was, but tell us specifically, first of all, your experience life after basketball when you first became a broadcaster, and all about that.
Well, I had always, prepared myself when I was in school that if it didn't work out for me to be a professional athlete, that I would hopefully be able to go into the business world, and did a lot of stuff in radio, TV, and film work, practicing in that, and was fortunate enough to make it in the NBA, and then fortunate enough to get the chance to broadcast for many, many years, and finally now I'm actually trying to use some of the things I learned in college with my business background in marketing, involved in a number of different companies, and you know, doing that, putting some fun trips together for golf and fishing, which is my new passion in life. I wish I was on a boat necessarily, but maybe a boat on a river or something like that, but not out in the ocean. I'm not a big fan of that. I do some of that, but I do a lot of fishing as well, and enjoying my youngest son playing basketball, spending the winter in the Charleston, South Carolina area, watching him play at the College of Charleston, and so it's a lot of fun. I'm blessed with good health, and you know, everybody should have the life that I've had.
Well, G.J., I would definitely talk about somebody that's had some great life experiences. It would be Rick.
We could talk for ages about the things that I've had, the people that I've met over the years, the celebrity people, other people, politicians, entertainers. It's been kind of a fantasy life for me, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to have enjoyed all those things. So hopefully God will continue to bless me and keep me healthy, because my goal is to be 100 years old and go fly fishing in Alaska. That's my goal in life.
Well, G.J., it looks like you and Rick are definitely aligned in a lot of the same types of goals, right, G.?
Well, I definitely have had a blessed life, and you hit it right on the head. You know, it's that fantasy life, even though it's reality. So, you know, and obviously today's a great example, you know, talking to one of the 50th greatest basketball players of all time, and all the great memories that I know I grew up as a kid. And obviously, you've done a great job growing some great young men who have been very blessed to play in the league as well. And obviously, you got one that's playing in college. So you got your health. So I can relate. Living those life experiences are fantastic. I was just down in South Carolina this past week as well. It was a little bit cold down there, so I don't know what it's like down there right now. Hopefully it's warmer.
Yeah, well, fortunately, it got a little better. Yeah, I'm actually at the golf course first time in a long time, been able to do that. But, yeah, they closed the airport down here. Actually, my wife and I went up to see my son play, William & Mary. He's not playing time because he's just getting over a broken finger. But we went up there and almost got stuck in Norfolk because they had a big storm coming up the East Coast. And they sent us to Nashville, and then they closed the airport in Charleston for 2 days. We got stuck in Nashville for a couple of days. But, you know, as long as you get to where you're going eventually and you get there in one piece and you're healthy, that's – that's the most important thing. You know, life is kind of interesting. You know, I'm not one of those people that ever sits around and wallows in self-pity and feels sorry for himself, because that doesn't do any good. You know, something sad happens in your life, cry, get over it, and move on. And I've been just really blessed with so many great things that have happened to me. And the only thing I wish I'd said, my mom got rest of soul. I said, Mom, why couldn't you have waited about 10 years before you had me? Because then I could have been making multi-millions of dollars. I would have been able to send you on cruises and build a house for you and then all that great stuff. And she said, hey, shut up. You're lucky I had you in the first place. So, I said, well, thanks, Mom. I appreciate that. But I wish I could have done all those things for you, because I still work for a living and do a number of different things, because they forgot those three zeros on my contract. My first contract was for $15,000, second player pick in the draft. Didn't have a no-cut contract. Had to make the team. And had to negotiate to get my contract up to $15,000.
Oh, wow. So I guess, Ricky, sometimes ask for loans from your sons, right, to play in the NBA when the money got better, right?
Yeah, they made quite a bit more than I made. They made more in one season, actually, both with John and Brent, than I made in all 14 years that I played. So God bless them. They're fortunate to have been able to have enjoyed that. And, you know, so have a lot of other guys because of the road that I paved for them and jumping from one league to the other and getting rid of the contract. You know, they talk about Kurt Flood baseball. Heck, I was the one that got the reserve clause out of basketball and got it to be an option clause before Kurt Flood ever did that. It opened up the gates for all the players to be able to make a substantial amount of money. So I feel good about that, having been a pioneer.
Now, Rick, when you talk about your sons playing basketball, you have...
Let me interrupt you. I told you I'm on the golf course, okay? I have to go and hit a shot. But I have somebody that you might want to talk to, especially about what happened yesterday there up in New York. I got a guy that you might have heard of. He calls himself an actor right now, but he was a degenerate coach on a TV show recently. But played a little bit of ball back at Cornell and then at the Minnesota Vikings. Here's Ed Marinara talk to him. I hit my golf shot.
Oh, wow. Oh, isn't that amazing, G?
Hey.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. Fantastic.
Wow,
G. Do you have memories of Ed playing and stuff, G?
I remember playing him at Cornell, and remember playing him for Minnesota Vikings. Been on Hill Street Blues, and Mike Warren's a good friend of mine. He lives out in L.A.
Well, Mike is a good guy. He and I, we had a lot in common when we were doing that show with our athletic background. And he's a fine actor and good friends. Yeah, he was... It was fun getting to be with him for all those years. Well, I got Rick Fair on the golf course. He's taking me to the cleaners here, so I got to focus. So good luck to you guys. Here's Rick.
All right.
Thanks for it.
Okay.
All right. I'm back. I said maybe you guys are good luck. I just hit my best drive of the day, so Eddie's in trouble. I got him down, so this is always good. Thank you. A couple of bucks.
Well, we'll have to switch it back, Rick. I wanted to ask him his take on the game yesterday. I'm sad and crying because my Broncos got just absolutely annihilated. And that's where the question I was going to, Rick, is specifically you'd look at the Manning family and look at yourself, the Barry family. There's not many people that would say their kids end up pretty great stars as well. Did you put a lot of pressure on with your kids or to get them to be successful in basketball?
As a parent, you never put pressure on your kids. All you do is expose your children to as many things as possible, find out what they like and they really enjoy and have a passion for, and you support them in that. To try to go ahead and force your kids to go into things, the worst thing you can possibly do. You're there to support them, to teach them, to encourage them. You're not there to try to live your life vicariously through them. And unfortunately, there are too many parents that actually do that, which is really sad, and I feel very, very badly for those young people who have to endure that.
Well, I had a feeling, Rick, that wasn't the case. But again, you have to bring up these things, especially when you see these TV shows now where these parents are completely putting totally too much pressure under the kids to be successful in sports and living through them vicariously. So I'm glad to hear it's just, again, your talent and exposing them to those opportunities, GJ. And we talk about surrounding ourselves with the right people, GJ. And that's definitely Rick had his sons had the opportunity being with that great like Rick, you know?
Well, you know, as I say, it's great to have a great mentor and someone that's gone down the path that you choose to go down. And obviously, you know, they had a great mentor in Rick. And then obviously off the course, you know, you talked about you set yourself up early in life for life after basketball. And then obviously you got into broadcasting. And after broadcasting, you've got several businesses. I know one of them's a basketball shoe. And I know you've got that with another former NBA player with John Starks. We played with the Knicks. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your
show? Well, it's called Ectio, and it's the breakaway model. It's EKTIO.com is where you can go, EKTIO.com, or you can go to my website, RickBarry24.com, all small letters for Rick Barry, and you can learn about my fishing trips, and there's a link down there to get to the Ectio site as well. But it's a very reasonably priced shoe. It's the only shoe ever in the history of basketball that has patented technology to help prevent the most prevalent injury that occurs in the game of basketball, which is an ankle sprain. Last year, almost 95 NBA players had ankle injuries. They have over 30 of them already this year, and there's just an enormous number that take place throughout the world when it comes to playing basketball alone. So I'm really excited about the shoe. It's a great shoe. It's a great shoe, and I just don't believe, I can't believe why somebody like Nike or somebody doesn't call and just buy the rights to this thing and know that they're going to have the best product ever in the history of basketball shoes. So check it out, EKTIO.com, EKTIO.com.
So, Rick, how did you hear about this opportunity and the technology and wanted to be part of this?
Well, I just ran into Dr. Barry Katz when I was doing something over in New Jersey, and he told me about it. I said, well, send me a pair, and I'll try them out. And when I did, I said, wow, these are pretty good, and I got a pair for my son to wear in high school. And it actually probably helped my son and prevented him from breaking his ankle when he came down at such an awkward angle, and the doctor, after examining him, lying to her, hearing what happened, and said, Rick, I can't believe he doesn't have any instability of this ankle, considering what happened. I told him about the shoe. He said, well, that's probably what saved him. He said, I can't believe he didn't break his ankle and have all this instability. So it's a pretty cool shoe, and I'm a big believer in it, and it needs to get out there. And, you know, their testimonials by the people who have worn it are just off the charts. The independent reviews on it are just fantastic. It's a very special shoe. So anybody serious about playing the game of basketball should take a serious look at it.
Gee, I know GJ's serious about basketball playing. He enjoys playing lots of sports, right, GJ? And this is something you need to check out for sure, especially with your feet injuries and different injuries that you occur on the basketball court.
Yeah, well, I was just looking at some new basketball shoes the other day, and Rick, I'm 52 years young, and so I still play. I play competitive sport. I didn't play, obviously, at your level. And I think we both know one of my good friends is Coach Dale Brown. He cut me when I was a kid, so I never made it to the higher ranks. But I still play, enjoy the game, and I'm going to order a pair of these shoes. And I feel like your foot is the foundation to your body. You might as well have the best things for your feet. So I've always been a big believer. After so many ankle injuries and feet injuries, you know, why not have the best shoes on my feet? And so I definitely spend a little extra money on shoes. And I'm looking on your website. I mean, they're priced better than a lot of the main brand names that are out on right now.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced, and it is by far the best technological shoe ever, especially for older guys doing it. It's easier to get hurt. I mean, why would you not want to protect yourself? So. Yeah, definitely check it out. I think you find it that it's a heck of a shoe.
Another thing you're doing is the fishing trips. Tell us a little about that venture and entrepreneurially and how people can learn more about that.
I put trips together for businesses and individuals to go. And if you go to RickBarry24.com, you'll be able to see the various trips that I have. One down in Mexico to a friend of mine that's an amazing resort down there. And then I've got a couple up to Alaska as well that are just amazing. They're not inexpensive, but it's worth every penny. And if you love fishing and you've never been up to either of those places to fish, you'll have an experience that'll be a lifelong memory for you. So it's really pretty cool. And I don't really charge people a fee to do that. If they go and come with me on these trips and everything, we get to hang out, tell stories. And if we get enough people to go, then I wind up bringing someone else along with me. I have one of the trips from Clifford Ray, my old teammate from the Warriors, is going on this one trip up to Boardwalk Lodge. And then I have another one at Rainbow River Lodge. So check it out if you like fishing. As they say, you're going to just absolutely love it.
Well, GJ, I tell you, he really is amazing. Rick, how, again, you're playing on the golf course, you're in a radio interview, and you're just so passionate about your life. And that just reminds me a lot of GJ as well, and GJ's passion to live life. For sure.
Well, I'll tell you right now, guys, here's the thing. What I tell people when I talk to them, especially younger people, you need to find something in life that you have a passion for. Apply yourself to it. Learn the fundamental principles and concept. That's the foundation that you put down. The foundation of anything you're doing in life are all the fundamental principles and concepts. The more you learn, the bigger the foundation, the taller the building, and you're able to really be able to maximize your full potential if you have this great foundation. And so that's the thing that's missing in basketball today. So many of these kids are just thrown out there. They're not really taught the game. They just go on their athleticism. And as good as some of them are, they're never going to be as great as they should be because they're not going to, they don't have that foundation. So that's what you need to do. And then also, even in life, whatever the business happens to be, whatever field of endeavor you want to go into, same principle applies. Because then you'll later in life become a person. And I told these kids, think about this. I had a love for basketball, a passion for basketball. Somebody actually paid me money to go and do what I love to do. That's not a job. That's not working hard for a living. That's going out and enjoying life and having a great living doing it. You can do the same thing in other fields of endeavor so that when you get up in the morning, you're a person that gets up and say, hey, I get to go do what I love to do, and I'm going to earn a living doing it. How great is that?
Gee, that sounds like you. For sure. GJ, by the way, Rick, again, GJ is definitely the entrepreneur guy to talk to, especially with just the success he's had as an entrepreneur, but also just how he has fun doing it. And it sounds like Rick has fun doing it. And G, you definitely love doing that as well, right? All the fun things you do all the time.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, you know, Rick's given some of the keys to success in life, you know, whether it's in business, it's just in life. And obviously, you've been a great role model, so we appreciate you having on, you know, coming on the show and you know, talking about what you're doing. And obviously, today we had a surprise guest with Ed Marinaro, and hopefully now he's not beating you too bad while you're out here listening and being on the radio. But I'm sure.
I'm kicking his butt pretty good here in the backside. You know, I was one up on the front. I got him down pretty good here in the back, even up on him on a press. So I got him pretty good, and I'm going to finish him out. And even though he's my buddy, I'm going to kick his butt. You know, I mean, when I'm competing, I'm competing. You know, friendship goes out the window when you're competing. You know. So anyway, hey, listen, I wish you guys all the best. I hope you have a great. Great show, and to continue to grow. Have fun doing it, and God bless you and your listeners.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Rick, for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, take care. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show and the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook on the Simply G Media Network, SimplyG.com for more information. And I'm really excited to welcome the program my co-host, Jared. Jared, how are you? We're going to have a really exciting guest today, aren't we?
We do, Neil. And in fact, I was actually surprised that you introduced me. I was when you said we have a very excited to introduce, I was expecting you to name our guest before you launched right into me. So I'm going to let you take the honors.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm going to welcome the program. Five-time NBA world champion, three-time as a player, two times as a coach from the Chicago Bulls, and a one-time All-Star, Bill Cartwright. Bill, thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to chat with you guys today.
Absolutely. I really appreciate giving us the time. So basically, tell us a little bit of our background for our listeners out there that might have not remembered you. I think mostly everyone has, especially playing for the great Bulls teams. And basically, then we're going to get into some of the stuff you're promoting now.
Basically, I was able to play 16 years of NBA basketball, and interesting enough, everybody kind of associates me to Chicago, but I played a majority of my career in New York, featuring such people as guys like Red Holzman, and one of my first teammates was Earl Monroe, and I can remember our first game was against Philadelphia 76ers, which happened to feature a couple of guys that you would know, Daryl Dawkins and Dr. J. So that was a really great time in the league when they had a lot of stars still there that I used to watch as a kid. So it was a really great time before I ended up, of course, being traded to Chicago after 9 years in New York. And we were a little bit successful in Chicago. We were able to win a little bit. And after that, I finished up my career 1 year in Seattle before moving on to coaching.
And, Bill, it must be amazing to have five NBA rings. That's pretty – how many people do you know of your NBA players that have played that could say they have five rings?
Well, not everybody has five. You know, I've been really very fortunate to, for one thing, be able to trade it here to Chicago to be part of that championship team and be able to come in and make a contribution as well. So I was just very, very fortunate, and thank goodness so.
Well, absolutely. So, Jarrett, pretty amazed to have Bill on the show. And you remember, were you a Bulls fan, Jarrett, by the way?
Absolutely. But before that, I was a New York Knicks fan. So certainly, I'm so glad that Bill reminded everyone of his contributions to the New York Knicks and the longevity that he had there and being such an integral part of that team. But boy, that was an era where pro basketball just had so many recognizable teams and names that even if you were just a casual fan, I think that everyone, so many people are aware of the players on every team, at least here on the East Coast. And so, you mentioned players, Bill mentioned players like Earl Monroe. Now, I was maybe five or six around then, when he was starring for those teams. But, those are absolutely recognizable names.
Well, and the interesting thing is that you have people nowadays, do you know Earl Monroe? They're like, Earl Monroe? I said, like Jesus, you heard of him? No, never heard of him. So it's it's a new era of players. It's a new era where the guys that I admired growing up and the guys that I played with, especially first coming in the league, they're not the household names that they used to be. So it's an interesting time.
So I'm glad actually that you launched in that direction, with kind of the recognizable players. Of course, we have the true superstars that so many people recognize that are really kind of media savvy. But, that era that we were just talking about, particularly with the New York Knicks, how much do you think that was related to kind of almost like the playground basketball? I mean, there were significant legends on the New York City basketball courts that never even made it to the NBA, but certainly people knew about.
Well, yeah, and it is kind of interesting for one reason or another. Those guys never did make it to the NBA for whatever reason, but, the guys really who did make it there probably were able to stay the course a little more and were able to hang in and not put themselves in a situation where they couldn't be successful. So, I was fortunate enough to play with a lot of those guys.
So, Bill, what are you doing currently? Again, you coached for the Bulls and then even had a full-time position coaching for the Bulls. And then what's going on? What are the latest projects you're doing right now?
Well, of course, I'd like to. I'm kind of taking a year off from coaching. I coached in played, of course, for 16 years. I coached for about 15. So, and last year, interestingly enough, I was going to take a year off, and I ended up going over to Japan. I had this guy that I knew who was over there, and the team was struggling, and I went over to kind of steady the team, and we were able to right the team a little bit and get them back on their feet, and we're on a nice 10-game winning streak. We were just too far back to get to the playoffs, but it was great. It was, I'd never been over that side of the world, and I learned a lot over there. I was able to be over there for 6 months and didn't learn any Japanese, but ate a lot of good Japanese food. Right now, I have a background investigation company in Des Plaines, Illinois, which is right by the airport, and we do background investigations for pre-hire. So if you're going to hire somebody, you call us up and we check out their background, and it's called Cartwright Downs, D-O-W-N-E-S. I'll say it again for you, Cartwright Downs in Des Plaines. We do a really excellent job. We try to bring in excellent service and unbelievably quick turnaround time for a very reasonable price.
How long have you been involved in that entrepreneurial venture, Bill?
Well, My wife and I really own this company for about 6 years. So, and we have a partner also with Sandy Downs, which makes Cartwright Downs. So we're very fortunate, and you know, we're just we're working on it right now. We're going to build it.
Okay, we're talking to Bill Cartwright. And Jared, I was going to say, when Bill was in Japan, he was definitely one of the giants. And I never got to wrestle in Japan. Bill's 7'1", and I am 6'10". So I usually don't talk to people that are taller than me, Jared. So this is a little different for me.
Yeah, I like the kind of generalized statement that you just put in there, Neil. I can appreciate where you're finally having someone that is kind of like your co-equal, at least in the height department.
Well, definitely not in professional ranks, for sure, Jarrett. And it's amazing to hear life after basketball, Jarrett, and how guys find their niche and find the specific things that go on. And Bill seems like he kept that going even when he was coaching.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to ask Bill particularly about his business, his investigation business. Bill, how much did you rely on your education, you know, either as an undergrad or graduate level studies? How much did that, you know, I know the undergrad was a little bit of time ago, but the University of San Francisco is a terrific institution. How much did that prepare you for launching that new business?
You know, I mean, it was just a little bit ago that I graduated from school, and I was able to go back to school and get my master's in OD, organizational development, after I get done playing. So it does play a factor in the extent of just, you know, how you believe what your vision is for the company. What your goals, where you're headed, and how you're going to get there. So it's actually interesting and similar to basketball, because if you're going to be successful, you need a great foundation, you need a great team, and then you have to set some goals. So that's basically what we're doing right now inside of this company to see if we can hit our goals. We know we're going to do great work. And then now it's just all about letting everybody know that you have this great team of professionals out here doing this job, that they're great at what they do, and we just want to go to work for you.
So, Bill, what is your biggest challenge of being an entrepreneur compared to playing basketball? What would you say the biggest challenge of being an entrepreneur?
Well, the biggest challenge is that it's all on you. You can do what you want to do. You can be as big or as small as you want. You can be as busy as you want. My tendency is to believe that the harder you work, the more successful you're going to be. So you have a lot of mornings where you're up at 4 and 5 in the morning. You're definitely up and gone by 6:30. So it's really whatever you want to make it into. If you want a smaller company, don't work as hard. if you want to grow and to challenge yourself, you're going to do everything you can to make yourself successful.
And that's so true. And Jared, I do that a lot in a lot of ways, where, you know me, I pretty much work my 18, 20 hour day with also the family in between. And as an entrepreneur, it doesn't feel, Jared, and this is the one thing that, again, want to bring you over to this side, it doesn't feel like work at all. And that's the key. Sometimes it does feel like work, but it's nice to be your own boss, Jared.
I totally, completely agree with what you're saying, and it's always good to have guests who help kind of educate our listeners, educate us even on the value of the work ethic and how much effort it takes to really be successful. Sometimes we think it just comes so easily, but Bill has again explained and reminded our listeners and us that, you know, this is a total effort.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and the main thing is that you just, you know, you got to go through some ups and downs, and there's a lot of no's, and there's some yeses in there. You just have to stay persistent. You have to stay persistent in what you believe. Have faith that what you're doing is the right thing, and hopefully you won't run out of money, and you'll be in good shape.
And that's the key thing. When you're investing in business, you have to look at those specific things. Bill, also, I was checking out that you are involved in some basketball camps. Can you share a little bit about that? I just Googled it, and I saw that that came up. What are you doing involving working with kids?
Well, I do some clinics. You know, mainly just to try out some different things and just try to keep myself busy. That way I do that twice a week. And actually that's just going to go up till the end of the month. And then during the summer, I'm hoping to get organized a couple of basketball camps. I'm hoping to get one going in Kankakee. I'm hoping one to get one, hopefully at Deerfield here in Chicago, and maybe Buffalo Grove. So I just want to stay really busy. Just try to teach kids some basic fundamental skills. Just try to keep my mind working. And, you know, I think some of my crazy ideas are really good. So I just want to kind of pass along some of that information.
And it's tremendous, Jared, to hear this man's work ethic, Bill Cartwright. Again, lots of professional athletes can't find what they do afterwards. He found it in coaching, then he continued in entrepreneurship and stays in basketball. Jared, and I know you've heard the stories of some of these NFL athletes and NBA that just aren't able to find their niche after their career's over.
Sure, and I think that, you know, again, that comes with maturity. Even just, you know, we've had a chance to hear Bill's background, a history of success going all the way back to his college years at the University of San Francisco, where they were part of the NCAA tournament, and, you know, moving on to a highly successful and really a star-studded NBA career, and using his education, his drive, his work ethic, to take that to the next step, and I think that that's a maturity level that we gain. But I'm going to ask Bill, you know, what he would give as the greatest attribute or characteristic for moving on after those playing days.
Well, I was kind of an oddball because when I was a rookie, I was thinking about that, what I was going to do after I got done playing. And the hard part is that you can't really, or it's very difficult to have another job when you're playing because anything you choose, you're going to be competing against somebody else. If they had to do that, to be successful, you got to be able to do that full time. So the only way you can do that is if you have a partner. So hopefully, you know, you can find somebody who has similar beliefs and values as you and be able to help you start your next life. Now, after I got the plane, along with this background check company, I have a restaurant in Highwood, and it's called Froggy's. So I was lucky enough to meet up with a friend of mine who was selling the restaurant. And so it was a place that I loved. I was in there a lot, and I thought a lot about it and made sure the chef was on board, who was now my partner. And we were able to purchase it. So I own a restaurant as well.
Now, Bill, I'm always known for asking the tough questions here on this show. I'm going to have to ask, was Cartwright's already taken? Was there another restaurant in the area named Cartwright's? Because I'm thinking that would have been the perfect name recognition for your restaurant.
No, actually, Froggies is a long established restaurant that's in Highwood. So I bought a place that had been there for about 20 years. And it had done really well. And also Froggies is a French restaurant. So, and I don't think Kirk Wright is a French name.
Well. No, but certainly recognizable, especially in that area. Thank you for, again, another one of our celebrities and personalities. Neil was able to educate me on some good business sense, because I would have named it after myself.
Well, Bill, I'm impressed tremendously, especially as you were not the most braggadocious person on the basketball court. You were the gentle giant in certain aspects, meaning just not, you know, tooting your own horn about things. And again, the humility you're talking about now about, oh yeah, I'm doing a couple things. Well, you're doing a lot for sure, Bill, and I'm very impressed. But where can our listeners find information on some of your business ventures so that they can find out more information on you and help out, especially in the Chicago area and different things, and keep up with you?
Well, you can always find me. I am on LinkedIn. I do dabble to stay busy and to stay active. So, I just want to just like a lot of people, I want to be successful. I have a lot of different interests. I'm not bounded by anything. I don't think. I think you're really bounded by thought. And so I like to leave everything open. Hopefully something exceptional will happen. So we're just looking to have an adventure over here, and hopefully it'll be a good one.
So you want to definitely get back into coaching, it sounds like, Bill. You were telling me you said you took a year off, but you definitely want to get back into that.
I think so. I think that's who I am. I enjoy it. Have a good time at it. I think I'm good at it. So it's a nice challenge.
You certainly were surrounded by, I think the coach at that time was Phil Jackson. So it certainly seems like you had a good mentor for coaching, that's for sure.
Well, I've had good coaches my whole life. My high school coach, Dan Risley, my college coach, Bob Gaylord. I think I was telling you, my first NBA coach was Red Holzman, Hall of Fame coach. After that, I got U.B. Brown,
yeah.
Bob Hill, Rick Pitino,
wow.
And then came here, Doug Collins, Phil Jackson, and then I ended my last year with George Karl.
Oh, wow.
Wow, those are some amazing names in the basketball field. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. So being a coach, what did you take? You took something from almost every one of your coaches, haven't you, in the way you coach?
Well, I think the big thing is that there's a lot of diversity of those guys, and there's a lot of different ways to win. And, you know, along with that, because the teaching process, and then now after that, because of a commitment to that system. So no matter what system you're in, you've got to be able to teach it really well, and you've got to commit to it. So I think when those things happen, I think you're successful. So it was a good lesson, and I definitely took a lot of things from each coach, and hopefully I'll have a chance again to use it.
Well, it definitely seems like you will, and we'll definitely have to reach out to you maybe later in the year in the NBA. Give us some ideas of who you think is going to win the NBA title, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on. And again, we're LinkedIn. That's how I met him. I met Bill. I asked him to be one of my LinkedIn friends. So if it wasn't for Bill on LinkedIn, Bill would not be on this show today, Jarrett. So that's the power of social networking, as I told Jarrett before.
Absolutely, and I'm learning a little bit more of that each day. Neil, do we have time for another question?
One more question.
Bill?
Yeah, we got one more question for Bill.
Bill, you have a lot of things to be remembered by and known by right now. I wanted to ask you, here's what I remember: your free throw shooting technique as watching the NBA during that time. It was pretty unique. How did you develop that style?
I don't think that's something you really develop. It's something that kind of just happens, and you kind of just go with it.
Do you have many people ask you that question these days?
Yeah, mainly they don't ask me. They just kind of want to show me.
But your percentage was still better than Shaq from the free throw line, right, Bill? Way better, right?
Yeah, I would say. Well, I hope so.
he was a very good free throw shooter.
What, in the 70s, 76? Yeah. Do you remember what your career free throw percentage was, Bill?
Yeah, I'll let you guys check it out.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. But you're definitely a good sport, Bill. I appreciate you calling and letting Jared ask the hard questions and let me ask the easy questions. So I appreciate you calling, Bill.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. It's always good to come on. I like talking about basketball, and I've been really fortunate to be able to play as long as I've had, be able to be in the league as long as I have, and I'm just really appreciative of that, and I'm appreciative you guys had me on.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking the time, and a lot of guys, they say, hey, you know, we're too busy to take a couple minutes to talk, but I appreciate you doing that, so take care, Bill, and best of luck.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it, and good luck.
All right, thanks Bill. Okay, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. All the different places you can find me. And also, I'm going to call this Author's Corner, a different, really different type of interview in a lot of ways, because I'm going to utilize it for both Author's Corner and the Celebrity Show at different times on my syndicated markets. But I want to welcome the program former cast member from The Real Housewives of D.C. I thought I'd never have another one. Mary's my only one I've ever had from the D.C. cast, Abon Eka. Abon, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on today, Neil.
Now, let's kind of go right into specifically just a quick background of how I kind of found you in certain aspects. Is, again, I'm a huge fan, again, of the interviewing a lot of the reality TV shows. So you were part of the reality TV thing, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was a cast member of the Real Housewives of D.C. with a lot of the women. And Mary Amon's actually a good friend of mine. I've known her for years. And I was actually dating one of the other cast members, one of the housewives, the former housewives.
And you're not currently dating her anymore, are you?
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Are you currently dating her anymore? One of the former.
No, we're not. We're not together anymore. But we remain friends. The thing is, we were together before the show. We were obviously together during the show, and we were together after the show. We were together for several years, so it wasn't. The show was only a small piece of our relationship. But it was the piece that led to other things for a lot of us, so it was great.
And so, in the experience, always, we'll have to have you back on that experience of reality TV, because, again, it probably is helping you now, especially writing a book, because, again, you're going back into the whole publicity thing, the whole PR thing, so that experience must have been a very important experience, being part of the Real Housewives cast, to kind of...
Of course. And the thing with the show is, the mistake a lot of people make when they go on reality TV is that they automatically assume that you will become wealthy or rich from just being on a TV show. The reality is, well, pun intended, is that the show is a vehicle for you to do other things. So it kind of goes both ways. The first thing is, the network says, okay, it doesn't cost as much for us to have a reality show. There are people waiting in line who'd love to be on TV, so that we don't have to pay actors and pay writers. And then on the other side, the talent, or as I use them as talent, the people have to have their own idea, their own agenda as to what they want to broadcast or use this medium to show other people. So you see people like Bethany and NeNe Leakes and some of the other people who have been on the Housewife franchises and other reality-type shows. They've been able to leverage because they came into the show with a mindset that's different than other people.
It's free PR. It's free, and then you have to you have to create your own character. They're not promoting you as much as, you know, other things. You're not getting paid. You can get paid afterwards if you're able to get out of it in the right light and have a lot of fans and capitalize with a product. So, A-Bong, let's go to something, because it's great you're giving us a business analysis of the Real Housewives brand, because it's truly, it is. They get people, except Duck Dynasty. No one's getting rich off reality television show. The Kardashians and Duck Dynasty would be the only ones that could not be replaced by anything else. You couldn't find a replacement. You could find replacements for the Real Housewives. Okay, so let's talk about your book that is coming out in late February. Start Me Up, No Business Plan. It's so interesting in so many ways, because here's the thing. So many people believe you start a business, you got to write a business plan. Why are they wrong in certain aspects?
Well, you know what? It's something that a lot of people start to call conventional wisdom. So if someone says, you have a headache, take an aspirin. And so you say it enough times that it becomes reality, when sometimes where the reality in that person's life is, there may be a variety of reasons why they have a headache. So relating that analogy to a business plan, to starting a business, a lot of people are telling you to go write a business plan. They have no idea what they're talking about half the time. That's just something that people say as the common vernacular for a small business owner, someone who wants to be in a small business. But the bigger problem with the business plan is that when people want to start, they don't know why they're writing it, and they don't know why they need it and what goes into it. And so they use it as a false sense of validation for their idea. So they'll say, I'm starting this business selling popsicles in Alaska, and I have no idea why no one's buying my popsicles, but I wrote a business plan, and now it's supposed to save me. So they use it as a safety net. But the reality is, their business was flawed to begin with,
because they had no idea how they could generate revenue. And A-Bong, I think you hear that all the time. These people have these great ideas. You go and evaluate their businesses, and you say, guess what? This isn't going to sell. And that's the key component. If you're not going to be able to make revenue, and I'm a huge fan of Shark Tank, and it does teach you a lot of the different lessons in certain ways. People come in thinking they have the greatest business in the world, then say, what's the bottom line? What are you making in this business? If you're not profitable, and you're not, and it doesn't seem like you're going to grow much more, then you didn't choose the right business.
Yeah, it's basically, it's not a business. It's a hobby. You might as well just stay in the basement and knit sweaters. And so the thing that I talk about in the book is, I say, okay, you know what? Get rid of the idea of a business plan, and let's just break it down to the four major areas that you need to focus on when you want to start a business. If you focus on those four major areas, most successful businesses have addressed those four areas. Most successful people have addressed those four areas. Anybody who has value in the marketplace has addressed those four areas. And I call them the four S's to small business success.
Okay, so can you share those with me? Because again, as an entrepreneur, I listen like crazy. I mean, I'm in this process always trying to reinvent myself. So let's hear them.
Of course, I would love to. The first is structure. Structure basically deals with, and ideally, when you hear structure, you think the entity type. That's only a small portion of it. The bigger piece is, I tell people in the structure portion, is fall in love with a problem that you're looking to solve. Fall in love with that problem. The mistake people make is they fall in love with an idea. So you probably met people like this, Neil, and anybody else who's listening has met somebody who says, you know what, I have a great idea, and there's nothing else like there out, nothing else out there like this. This is why it's going to be successful. And you see this on Shark Tank, they don't, and that sometimes Kevin will even ask, what problem are you solving? People will spend money to get a desired result or to have a problem solved. That's the only reason why we spend money in this world. So if you focus on that, you have a better chance of having something that's sustainable, even if it doesn't make sense to a lot of people.
So a problem solved. I'm as a teacher and as this talk show host, I always like to summarize my audience so I'm clear on this. It's basically, you have to solve something. So my tutoring and consulting company solves the problem of kids that are having difficulty in the classroom or trying to improve their test scores or do something like that. So there is a problem to be solved with my business.
That's perfectly right, because from the parents' perspectives, who tend to be your customers, they say, you know what, what's really important is now that kids have good grades, and that leads to self-esteem and then better opportunities, and then you go on down the line. And it's not just about tutoring. To you, it's about, let's improve your test scores. Let's provide a favorable result. that's why a lot of these education companies and education now is the future. It's not going to a factory and stamping out metal. It's what's going on in your mind. And the people like you who create the best tools for people to use in order to get that desired result, they'll line up for it. And that's, and it doesn't matter any business you can think of. Right? You can go back to Facebook and Google. I can identify as Facebook as an example. They were, their niche and their area, the problem they solved was initially was so other Harvard students could know what their friends, what kind of classes their friends were taking and what their friends were doing. And that was it. That's how it started. And now look at where it is now, 10 years later, sorry. So that's an example of what people need to focus. You need to identify that. If you don't identify that, it doesn't matter.
So a problem solved or a service or a product that they can use. So it can solve.
Exactly.
So if it's neither of those, let me give you an example of one that, and I know that my listeners out there might not like, because I mean, other radio stations, if you're starting a radio station and you know it's not going to sell and make you money, you have to have it as a tool. Some people go and make it a business, and if the business can't generate advertisers and revenue, what's the purpose of doing it? And that's where you're kind of saying there are so many people out there that'll create something and no one's interested in it, or it's just not exactly for the marketplace. Okay, so that's the number one. Let's go to number two.
Exactly. Number two is a strategy. And part of strategy also includes a portion of the structure where I talk about creating a niche. And when I was writing the book, I had a conversation with a local economics student, and I was telling her the idea, and she said, "Well, why do you want to create a niche?" I go, "When you're starting a business, you don't have the opportunity to service everybody, anyways. But more importantly, when you're focusing on a niche, you already identify your market. You already know. In your case, you know who you need to talk to. You know who you're targeting with your educational solutions and tools. You know who you're going to target. You don't have to." The mistake people make is they'll say, okay, I want to open up a store. They borrow money, they open a store, and then they wait for people to show up. Rather than identifying who their market is, and then you can aggressively and accurately target that market without having to worry about anything
exactly
else. You know they need your product.
Exactly, and that's where it started, A-Bong, my radio show, was I was trying to create a market that there's not in education, just education in general. Authors shows as well. Those two, I know, are the niches that, you know, interviewing celebrities, everyone does it. Some people do it better than others, but again, your target, you're having a lot more competition. If you can find an area that there are people that truly need that service and are willing to listen to it and want to learn from it, there you go. You got something
yeah
right there.
And Neil, you become the go-to guy in your mind. I guarantee you, you're the go-to guy. You are the go-to person for everything education in your area. I guarantee you, people know who you are, and you're the expert. So now you're right. There's no competition. So everyone else who wants to start, they're competing with Neil. Neil's not competing with anybody. He's just dominating. And that's how you need people who are starting need to think when they want to start their business.
That's so true. And in a lot of ways, in the radio market, there are so many fly-by-nighters out there that call themselves talk show hosts, and yet they don't do 7 hours of programming a week and are not interviewing the best guests. So guess what? I am the only competition out there when it comes to independent internet radio, terrestrial radio, that's not owned by, you know, Clear Channel or one of those others. Just giving examples for people in other ways. So let's go to number three. I like that. See, this is giving me some good motivation today, A-Bong, about, hey, I'm on the right track when I look at businesses, and I kind of evaluate other people's businesses as a consultant as well. So this is great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The third is systems. And the reason why I looked at systems is because productivity or lack thereof is one of the biggest pitfalls that small business owners fall into. And after just hearing you say you do, 7 hours of programming, that's literally most people barely do once a week. I can tell, not even talking to you further, you are insanely efficient in what you do and productive.
Yes.
And there's no way you can do what you do without putting out the productivity. There's just no way. And so a lot of small businesses fall into the pitfall of saying, I have to do all things, I have to wear all hats, I can't, I have to have my hands in all the pots. And so as a result, they waste their time on non-revenue producing and income producing activities. It's putzing around with a website and some other stuff when they can easily leverage this off. So in that section, I talked about how to leverage other repeatable and menial tasks to virtual assistants, going to your local university or colleges and participating in their internship program and finding interns, going overseas if you have to, and finding people like on Fiverr and Guru.com and Elance and Freelancer to have them to do other tasks like populating databases for you, or collecting email addresses and putting them in your autoresponder. Things that you really don't need to have to focus on that much. They're important to your business, but not directly connected to producing revenue. And you can go out and focus on selling and building your brand.
Well, Avong, I'm going to have to check that out because, again, I've heard, you know, of the interns and ways of doing it, and that's a great part in your book in a lot of ways, because I see with running three businesses, being a vice president of a media company, owning a touring consulting company, and running the Total Education Network, I am pretty stretched thin in specific ways, but I am efficient at what I do, but I definitely have to take some of the advice that you're bringing, and that's why you could see I'm just a sponge listening to you right now with your great advice. So let's go to number four.
Okay, the last one, which is actually one of the, I say they're all equally important, but this one is extremely important, and that's sales. The last S is sales. And for obvious reasons, obviously, we mentioned earlier that if you're not producing money, you don't become self-sufficient. You're not, it's not a business, it's a charity. And so the thing with sales is I talk about, I try to teach people the importance of using social media and a lot of the platforms that exist today. You're a great example of that. You're a great example of anybody's listening. You're a great example of doing that, using, you know, a radio and using other forms of media in order to reach go out there and reach and become an expert in your space. But more importantly, people are marketing and advertising like we're in 1998.
Yes.
Then 2000.
They don't, and Avong, I'm just jump real quick. They don't know how to use Facebook. That's what it's one of my other businesses, and then one of my major clients. I run his social media platform because he doesn't have the time to do it. But yeah, ultimately, I learned from working with him how many people just don't know how to do it. They look at print advertising. They go out and think of traditional radio. That's not going to do it. You're looking at you got to be a major corporation to do this. You got to be creative in what you do and using digital marketing to be successful.
Hey, perfect example. I watch Shark Tank, as you do. It's one of my favorite shows. I even reference an example in the book of Shark Tank where Kevin O'Leary roasts this one woman because she didn't know her numbers in a different section. But the reason, but yesterday I was watching Shark Tank, the reruns they have on CNBC, and this is probably from two or three years ago, and one of the consistent questions that they would have with people who were coming in for smaller nominal amounts of investment was, if you're a new brand, how are you going to scale and get attention? See, that's only two or three years ago. Now, imagine people who have the mindset of 10 years ago who aren't thinking strategically with social media. Nowadays, you can get so much penetration. You can get so much you can get out there for so low amount of money without having to spend a lot of money and time if you're strategic in what you do. As an example, I love Twitter. I love interacting with people. I'm also a big fan of content marketing. So I'm constantly giving out content. I'm giving out valuable content. People can use the ideas that I give out, things that I'm talking about today with you. And I share little snippets for 140 characters. I connect with people who are also in my space. I try to partner with other people, other nonprofits who are in my space. Yeah, and you can easily reach out. I've connected with so many celebrities, I've had so many business arrangements from reaching out to people on Twitter and connecting with them and being consistent in my message. So I don't. One day I'm not talking about business, and the next day I'm talking about Kardashians, only as it relates to business. So I'm always consistent in my message, and I'm constant and consistently hitting you over the head. There's a reason why we know things like McDonald's theme song, or we know Burger King Have It Your Way, because they spent 20 years hammering the same sentence to you.
Yes.
And you need to do the same thing with social media, but in a different way now.
And it's all about relationships. You go ahead and you get no interaction, forget about it. So, Avong, I tell you, I know your book's going to be a success because you've just given me four areas. I'm doing most of it. I'm not going out with the part, I guess, the whole thing with the personal assistants. That's the hardest part. But I guess the lucky thing about it is by being a vice president of a media company, I get a lot of my stuff and the radio stuff done by my staff. So I do have people working for me that'll pay for. So, hey, I could say that helps me and frees me up to be as efficient as I am doing an interview like this and having a great time talking to you. And I didn't know what to expect. I brought you on because the Real Housewives of DC, but I was very, very impressed. So I want everyone to go out and purchase this book if you're an entrepreneur, and tell us where we can find information on you, Avong, so we can purchase your book and learn more about you.
I'm available on Amazon.com. You put in my first and my last name, and it'll pop up. You can also find me on Barnes & Nobles and some independent bookstores in your area. You can learn more about me at my first name, AbongEka.com. You can also find some information about the book at StartMeUpBook.com as well.
Well, I hope we can continue this relationship, entrepreneur to entrepreneur.
Love that.
Because, I mean, you're awesome. You're fantastic. Definitely want to connect you to my business partner because I think that there's definite win-win, and I think you see that in so many aspects. And really enjoyed the conversation, and best of luck to you, Abong.
Thank you so much, Neil. I'm a huge fan of yours after we first connected, and I've been following your stuff and listening to your